am redeemed. I am redeemed. Every time he sings that, makes me want to sing myself. Yeah. No, I just listen to him. I play it over again. But we thank God for allowing us to come to this last Sunday of the year. And I'm going to share with you now out of the book of Isaiah. It's on the back of your program. If you turn to the back of the program, you'll see these words from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6, 7, and 8. Reading it from the New King James Version. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6, 7, and 8. And it reads, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." So I want to speak to you now as we close out this year on this subject, what the Lord has chosen. As we enter the year 2025, this week we'll be entering that year, as the Lord say the same. We want to focus our attention today on what has the Lord chosen. This is a time of year where people start making New Year's resolutions, and they start thinking about where they would like to see their life go in the next year. I've actually started a little journal that I'm doing, experimenting with some journaling, and I've journaled some things down that I want to try to do in 2025. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better man. And in order to do that, I'm going to need some help. And that help isn't going to come from me. That help has to come from the Lord. And I hope that you will, if I could just request of you one thing, my request would be that you would want God to help you to be better. Just ask God to help you to be the best you that he had intended when he made you. And so as we look at this today, we're going to, when you read this 58th chapter of Isaiah, you'll see that the people were moving toward being more spiritual. And I want to be more spiritual as well. And as they are addressing God about being more spiritual, they start saying to God, "God, we have fasted, and you did not honor our fast. We made the effort to be more spiritual." And that's what fasting is. It is to be more spiritual. It is to be closer to God and following God, even sacrificing yourself for God's sake. And they say, "God, we've done that, and you haven't responded." And then what we get here in this sixth verse, 58th chapter of Isaiah, we get God's response. And my brothers and sisters, it's always important for us to hear what God has to say. And so God responds. And the first thing he says, and it's the title of our message today, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen?" What has the Lord chosen? God wants you and I to say what we've chosen is different from what God has chosen. And so God now starts to illuminate here. He illuminates it, and he also enumerates it, what he has chosen. And so as we go into 2025, I want us to have in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits, what the Lord has chosen. Let's be clear about that. Let's be clear about what the Lord has chosen. Even if you don't choose to do it, at least know what he's chosen. One of the things I like doing with my grandsons, and I'm glad they are doing a pretty good job of listening, is I would ask them, now, what did you hear me say? And it always surprises me. They come up with something I didn't say. I said that? That's what you heard? I said, no, I didn't say that. I said, don't take it from your brother. I said, offer it to him. Sometimes we just don't hear it right. Well, here God says, I want to make this clear. Let me make clear what I have chosen. And so the first thing I want you to see in verse 6, he says, what I have chosen. He says, to loose the bonds of wickedness. That's the first thing God says to his people. I need you to loose the bonds of wickedness. Don't do wrong because somebody else did wrong. And I was horrible with that. I used to, if anybody ever cursed around me, I'd make sure I cursed them out three times more. If you're gonna go there, we're gonna go there real full speed. And God said, no, don't, you need to undo that wickedness. Don't get bound by that. Don't get bound by bad habits. Smoking too much, whatever it is you might smoke. Whatever it is, it's too much. Drinking too much. Doing anything else too much. God says that means that you're bound by something, and we need to, he tells us right here, you need to loose the bonds of wickedness. Whatever you know is wrong to do, you need to make sure you loose those bonds. Don't stay in that grip. Free yourself from that. Don't continue to be bound by what you know is wrong. As we leave 2024 and go into 2025, ask God to help us to loose the bonds of wickedness. Then he says, undo the heavy burdens. Remember, Jesus Christ is a burden bearer. And so he wants you and I to know we don't have to carry the burden ourselves. We can take that burden to the Lord and leave it there. We try to carry too many heavy burdens. And I try to help everybody, and we should help everybody that we can, but don't let that burden you down. Do the best you can and be satisfied with that. Don't continue to carry heavy burdens. Our Christ says he is the burden bearer. Then he says, this is all in verse 6, let the oppressed go free. Don't keep oppressing people. Don't keep saying bad things about people. I didn't say it wasn't true. He says, just don't say it. I used to love to tell the truth on people. But then God says, no, you need to start telling the truth on yourself first. And if you're not going to tell the truth on you, then don't start telling the truth on somebody else. That's oppressive. That's in the name of Jesus, putting somebody down. No, he said, you need to loose that. You need to let that go. Don't keep oppressing somebody. Don't put somebody down. He says, let the oppressed go free. And then the last thing he says in verse 6 is, and that you, somebody say you. God's not going to do this. He says for you to break every yoke. Everything that is holding you back. Everything that keeps you from being all that you could be. He says, break that yoke. He gives us the power to do it, but he will not do that for us. Whatever you're yoked to, it could be a habit. It could be a personality. It could be something you've done for years. God said, break that yoke. He'll help you do it, but he won't do it for you. You, he says, break every yoke. And the implication is there's more than one yoke. And we need to break those yokes that are holding us back, things that that are part of our lives. He said, break every yoke. Then he continues in verse 7, and this is the second part of your outline. He wants you and I to know, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? He's talking about what the Lord has chosen. He has given you bread. And he says, and of course, you know, it used to be a slang when you say bread, it was talking about money. He's giving you money. He's giving you bread, things to for you to eat and to provide for yourself. And God says, now when I give that to you, he says, I want you to share that with somebody that's hungry. God wants you to share what he has given you and be willing to share it in a way that brings honor to our God. So he says, share, and I want you to make sure you get this, your bread. Not talking about somebody else's bread. I'm not talking about, well, what this is what so-and-so should do. This is what Uncle Sam should do. This is what my relative should do. This is what my church should do. This is what somebody else. He said, no, you need to look at what you're doing with what I've given you. And then he tells us, and then share that. I would have responded, I don't have enough to share. God said, well, whatever you got, it's more than what you need, and it's more than what you deserve, and you need to share what I've given you. You don't say I don't have enough, because what Jesus would do, he appointed that widow, and he said she's had just one widow's mite, and she was willing to share it. And so even if you just have the widow's mite, God said be willing to share that. And God blesses what we're willing to share. Some people have their hands so closed tightly that they can't even open it up to receive a blessing. God says you need to be willing to share. And so he tells us right here in the seventh verse, you have to share your bread with the hungry. Then he says, he takes it even further. Then he says, you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. And when God says this, and this is, I've been praying about this, thinking about this. How many people have I just brought to my house? I'm a very private person. And my wife is just the opposite. She brings everything and everybody over. I said, well, can you at least call me, text me, let me know you're bringing over this crowd of whoever? You just was out walking and saw somebody walking, and next thing I know, they're at my house. Well, that's just how God made her. And God says in his word, he says, but I need you to be willing to bring in the poor. Now, as I prayed about this, and what is God saying to bring them to your house? What is God saying to us? And I want you to get this. If you don't get anything else, make sure you get this. He's talking about your hospitality. He's talking about you being open and friendly and nice to people. Take your house, wherever you go, take that hospitality with you. Take being kind with you. Take being complimentary with you. Some people have this a wonderful house that God has given you, and God said, now I need you to take that house wherever you go. Is there peace in your house? Then you should take that peace wherever you go. Is there love in your house? Then take that love wherever you go. Take your hospitality with you. And that means you, everybody you come in contact with, you'll be able to show them hospitality. You're carrying your house with you wherever you go. You're open to being a blessing wherever you go. God says to his people, bring your house to the poor. Help those who need a compliment. Help those who need an encouragement. Help those who are feeling down and need somebody to say something nice to help lift them up. God said, bring your house to the poor. We need to practice more bringing our house, the house that God has given us. And I'm not talking about your physical house. I'm talking about your persons, who you are. That's the house that you live in. In fact, the scripture says one of these days, you're going to have to move out of this house. But you want that house to move with you when you go. If you are in the Lord's will and in doing the Lord's work, God said, wherever you go, I'm going to take your house with you. You're going to have a new body, and you'll be living in a new house. But that new body and that new house is just going to be, it's just going to magnify what was already in the old body. So make sure you got your house in order. Make sure you're doing all that you can to be a blessing to other people's house. Open up your house to the poor. And he says, now, don't cast the poor out. Open up to them. And then when we treat people with hospitality, those that are less fortunate than we are, and then God says, you'll see it in your own behavior. He continues saying, cover the naked. That's why we have our blanket drive. We just had it at our Christmas party. We want to use those blankets to cover the naked. We want to think about somebody who's less fortunate than we are. God says it in his word. We need to take our house and the hospitality that we have and be a blessing to somebody else. So he says, cover the naked. And then he tells us, and this one was kind of strange to me. He says, and do not hide from your own flesh. Don't hide from your own relatives. When I have a relative call, the first thing I think about is, do I want to answer this call? Oh my. Especially when they call around Christmas time. Do I want to answer this call? And the Lord then put this right in front. Don't hide from your own flesh. Don't hide from them. You got to be at least willing to talk with them, even though you already know what they're going to say. Let them say it. And then ask God how he wants you to respond to it. Because God's response to yesterday isn't going to be the same as today. And sometimes God will send that relative because he wants to see if it's a change in you. It's not about them at all. It's about what God wants to do in you. And so here he is, sends even these relatives. He said, don't hide from them. Let the Lord bless you even in that situation. Do not hide. He makes it real plain to them. He says right here in verse 7, do not hide and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Don't hide. Don't refuse to take the call. Even if they're part of your church family. Yeah, that's right. Part of your church family. Don't hide from them. Let the Lord use you however he says, however he feels free to use you. Don't hide. And that probably is not for you. I think that really was just for me. God said, don't hide. But then he continues. He says, if you will do what he says in verses 6 and 7, then God has a promise for you. And God has some good news for you. And that's why I want to try to emphasize it's important for us to hear what the Lord has said, and particularly about loosing the bonds of wickedness, as he said in verse 6, and undo the heavy burdens and letting the oppressed go free, and breaking every yoke, and then sharing your bread with the hungry, and bringing your house hospitality to people who are in need. And then he tells us, cover the naked, and then not hide from our relatives. If you will paste that on your refrigerator and repeat that every day and say, God, help me to do this on a daily basis. If you'll be committed to the Lord that way, I got a good news for you. It's right here in verse 8. It says, if you'll do that, He says, then, somebody say then. Then your light shall break forth. Do you want to have a breakout year? Do you want things to be better than they ever been before? God said, then your light will break forth. You're going to have a breakout year. Instead of having bad breaks, you're going to have some good breaks. God said, I'm going to break it in your favor. I'm going to make sure grace breaks upon you. I'm going to make sure goodness breaks upon you. I'm going to make sure that you're going to have a breakout year. Your light shall break forth. It's going to be a breakout year for you. The things you've been praying for, God said, I'm going to bless you with. The things you've been hoping for, God said, I'm going to bring that hope to pass. The health that you want, the finances that you want, the friends that you want, the companionship you want, God said, I'm going to bring it forth. If you do what he says in verses 6 and 7, then God says in verse 8, you're going to have a breakout year. Then your light shall break forth. And then he continues. He says, not only will your light break forth, he says, but you're going to have healing. You're going to have family healing. You're going to have financial healing. You're going to have emotional healing. God says you're going to have every type of healing that you could ever desire if you will allow God to do what he wants to do. It's going to break out speedily, he says. Your light's going to come. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. God's going to do it quickly. You might have been in this situation for years. Your family might have been dysfunctional for years. Things may have just been gone wrong for years. God said, but I'm going to bring healing speedily. It's going to be faster than you can imagine. God is a God who's able to do things instantly, miraculously. He can change it right now. But he said, I'm able to do it and I want to do it, but I need to see what you're going to do. You can have a breakout year. And your healing, emotional healing, all the different healings that we need, God said, and I can make it happen for you speedily. It ain't gonna take a decade. It ain't gonna take a long time. God says, I'll do it speedily. Then he tells us, not only that, not only will you have a breakout year, not only will your healing come speedily, he says, your righteousness shall go before you. Now, I want to make sure we get this part right. God promises us that righteousness shall go before you. Now, what I want you to note, that when the Lord says this part, he says that the righteousness is going to go before you, meaning in front of you. It's going to be in front of you. This means that the righteousness that he's speaking of now is not your righteousness. This is a righteousness that is separate from you, but is leading you, guiding you, showing you the right way. Your righteousness shall go before you. Now, it gets a little tricky in the English because it says your righteousness, which makes it sound like he's saying it's the righteousness that I have and that it's mine. But when he's speaking of the righteousness, your righteousness, he's speaking of the one that you have claimed as your own. It would be like me saying, my wife is going to go to your house. I'm not saying she is. I own her. I'm just saying we're connected together, and we are bound. We have a bond between us. We are bound together. And when God speaks of your righteousness, he's speaking of the King of righteousness. Now, let me show you. It's in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 2, it says, first being translated, King of righteousness. This King of righteousness will go before you. The King of righteousness is Jesus Christ himself. He is the King of righteousness. And he will go before you. He will go out in front. Our King, the King of righteousness, Jesus Christ, is the King of righteousness. And he will go in front of you. And as he goes in front of you, he's going to make all the rough places clear. He's going to take all the crooked places and straighten them out. He's going to take the high places and bring them low. He's going to take the low places and bring them up. Our God will go before us. And when he goes before us, he's going to make a way for us to make life better for us. The King of Righteousness will go before you. If we will do as he says in verse 6 and 7, then this King of Righteousness will go before us. And let me close with what he says lastly. And he says, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. So you got the King of Righteousness in the front. And you got the glory of the Lord in the rear. And so God said, now if you stay in between there, in between being the King of Righteousness in the front and having the glory of the Lord in the rear, God said, then you're going to have the best year of your life. God will smile upon you. God said, I'm not going to let nothing sneak up on you. God says, I got your back. I'm going to be the rear guard. I'm going to make sure nothing comes that you weren't prepared for. Our God will be our rear guard. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. It is God's glory is so magnificent that nothing is going to be able to penetrate that. Nothing's going to be able to come between you and your God because God will be the rear guard. I'm glad I got a God that will watch my back. I'm glad I got a God that even in the nighttime, he'll be light in the night. I'm glad I got a God that will pick me up when I stumble. I'm glad I got a God that will forgive me when I come up wrong. I'm glad I got a God that will love me even when I'm unlovable. We got a great God. He is the glory of the Lord. Jesus our Christ, he's a glorious God. He's a wonderful God. And he has promised that he will be our rear guard. Yeah, make sure he has our back. That's what happened out on Calvary's cross. Jesus Christ became our rear guard. Jesus Christ died on the cross to make sure that you and I have a right to the tree of life. When he died, remember he said, it is finished. It's finished because there's nothing else that needs to be done. It's finished because he has completed the work of salvation. It's finished because he's made a way for you and for I. God said, it is finished. In other words, he's telling you and I, he's the rear guard. Nothing else gonna come after this. He's already finished the work. All we got to do is say, hallelujah, God, you finished it for me. You made a way for me. You've already provided for me. Hallelujah to the King. He's worthy of our praise. I'm going to stop right there. Will you stand with me? Maybe somebody here today wants to put it in his hands.